Welcome everybody to the Man Strong Podcast. This is your host Clint Locklear, and if you don't know who I am, you can put me in a category if you wish. So we'll call that a conservative veteran free-loving hippie. That's exactly what I am, and I'll explain that to you just very quickly. I believe in being conservative so you don't waste resources and you don't let other people and other governments guilt you out of your resources to waste them. You should actually take care of your family and take care of your own money. I believe in free love for everybody because everybody should have that. They should be able to live the way they want to. They should have individual freedom. They should be able to make mistakes and pay those consequences or get those rewards all on their own. And then the veteran part. Even though I want people to have the greatest lives they ever have, I know there's bad guys that roam the earth, and that's why they embedded 10 millimeters and 45s that every grown man should have on their hip protecting their family. So there you go. I'm a conservative veteran, free-loving hippie. So we're going to get into the show a little bit, and I want to talk first about George Washington. This is not going to be a history class. This is going to be something that is going to take you to maybe look at the world and what it means to be man strong in a different perspective. Before we do, I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. He was also the sponsor when I used to do the rant. He has everything from predator call stuff to everything you'd want for trapping. He carries all of my stuff. He's a personal friend. He's got pretty much whatever you'd want on Amazon, eBay, Bonanza, Walmart, his own stores, which is FunkyTrapsTagsAndSupplies.com, and Hilltop Outdoors. That's a great sponsor, great man, somebody that you know you can trust if you're looking for outdoor and trapping and calling type equipment. George Washington. He was the first president of the United States. More than that, though, he was a man. He was a real man, not a confused man, not a girly man, not a beta male, and all these other things that gets slung around today. He was what most Americans were at the time, and that was a real man. Now, why am I bringing up George Washington? Because I think as men today, if you're going to be a man and not be a confused male that thinks you're supposed to act like a female even though you have an outie instead of an innie, and you actually understand what the job of a man is, and you actually understand that you have a role in life and in your family and your country, and you take pride in that, then I think you should understand a little bit about George Washington and a little bit about your life. So we're going to talk about George Washington in a perspective that'll show you how differently men are today than they used to be. It's not that we just smell better, probably. It's not that we have nicer houses and nicer cars, and we're not having to ride a horse, and we don't have to have wooden teeth. If that's true or not, I don't know. Not all that type stuff, but I'm talking about the character of being a man and how that happens. I think that's important today in America because it's freaking lost. Now, George Washington did some things that modern day society would tell you will not work today, and society is absolutely wrong. George Washington barely got an elementary school education. Most kids at the time, actually 8th grade was about it, unless you were one of the selected few to go to college, before college turned into just, 4 more years of high school. So he learned what he needed to learn, and he didn't waste a lot of time learning stuff that was pretty irrelevant to the life of that time. So he had a small education compared to today's standards. He didn't know trigonometry and geometry and algebra 2 and all this type stuff. First president of the United States, didn't even make it to high school. Let that sink in a minute. Now, why am I bringing this up? Because men today, in my humble opinion, and that's all this is an opinion, they have forgot what it means to be a man. And they forgot what that means in their own personal life. Now, I'm not talking about being you know, nasty and aggressive and a peckerhead to people because you're, you know, you want to be a bully. I'm not talking about any of that stuff. All that's childish. I'm talking about being a real man. Real men write their own stories. That's what Americans used to do. We used to write our own stories. And we did not rely on other people to write them for us. Even though that's what we do today. Yes, sir, it is. We let society tell us what we're supposed to be. We let society tell us what we should be. We let them how we should talk, we should act, how we what we can and we cannot say. How we if we sit down and Lord help, your legs come a little bit apart that you don't have a feminist getting up in your face screaming at you about, you know, taking up too much space on the subway because you need room for what's between your legs possibly. Or if you see someone struggling with something and you understand what the problem is and you just kind of give a hint that you don't get screamed at because you're mansplaining. See, this is a new phenomenon in the world, and I don't think this new feminine man that's come on the scene in America, I don't think that was ever here till maybe somewhere in the mid-60s. I can't really find evidence of it in the 50s. You can't find evidence of it going back to the 1900s. There was definitely no evidence of it in the 1800s, 1700s. Because if you were a weak man and you didn't know what your job was as a man, you and your family died. That's how serious it was. You didn't have Big Daddy Pimp government to give you whatever you wanted whenever you needed it because you were too lazy, too weak, too spineless, too little of character to do what actually you were meant to do, and that's your manly duties as a man. But see, Americans used to write their own stories. I want you to let that sink in a little bit. Maybe you came in from Europe. You get off at Ellis Island. It's basically slums because that's where all the illegals are dumped out at. And you want a better life for you and your family. Now, see, what's really hard for people to believe is you didn't have welfare in the 1800s. There wasn't a Medicare and a Social Security and food stamps and everything else. You either made it, or you turned into worm food, or you went back to wherever you came from because you weren't meant to do. This alone is why America, in my opinion, is the greatest, hands down, genetically selected country in the world. Because we started with nothing, and the strong are the only one that stayed, and the strong are the only one that lived to reproduce. The weak went away. They either went home or they died. America used to be a harsh place for everybody involved. It was a harsh place because everything was up to the man of the house to bring in resources, protect the family, and the wife made sure that there was a loving atmosphere for the kids and the husband and everything like that, and it was an awesome partnership. One was not better than the other. It's just different jobs. But let's say you get off the boat at Ellis Island. You decide you don't want to be in New York City. I don't know why anybody would, but I seriously doubt I'd want to be there when you had 65 billion flies per square inch because it was just horses back then and you had all them people stacked up with each other. Probably not what you really enjoyed sitting out on your front porch and getting swarmed by flies every night. Rough place. So you decide that you're going to go get a crappy job, because that's really all it is, and you're going to get a little bit of money, and you're going to save most of it, and you're going to have to do a tremendous amount of physical labor, and you're going to have to save your money, and you're going to have to try to come up with side hustles, and you're going to have to do everything that you're supposed to do to be able to get enough of a nest egg to be able to go west. Which, you know, west back then was like really wild, just going to Kentucky. Yeah, I'm not even talking about going all the way across the Oregon Trail. I'm just talking about going to Kentucky and Tennessee and West Virginia, the wilderness. The weak never made it. They didn't reproduce. Their genes did not go forward. But that family, that man, they wrote their own story. They didn't let society put them in a box. They didn't let their family put them in a box. I'm talking extended family now. They're not their friends, not the TV, not the media, not the politicians, anything. They wanted a better life. They had to go out and they had to earn it. They had to do the work every day. They had to keep their head on a swivel every day to make this happen. If they wanted to build a cabin, no one's going to build it for you. You have to figure out how to build it. You don't know how to make a fireplace, you're going to have to figure out how to make a fireplace or find somebody else that's already figured out and you can work together. Then you go work for them because they helped you out. You had to figure out how to grow your own food. You had to figure out how to get water without dying of dysentery. You had to figure out how to get salt, how to get meat, how to grow livestock. Everything they had to figure out. Every single step was writing something in their own story. But see, Americans don't do that anymore. Americans don't write their own story for the most part because it's such an anomaly now. When somebody does, everybody knows about it. Well, pretty much everybody that was in America, they wrote their own stories, and a lot of them lost their lives writing that story because they realized no one else is going to write it for you. They realized if they wanted to have a better life, they had to fill the pages in of their own story with their own sweat and their own blood. And they moved forward and they wrote new stories and they had kids and they wrote new stories and those had grandkids and they conquered, they ran, they starved, they feasted. All of these were simply because they had the courage to write their own stories. Now see, being a professional trapper for a couple of decades, where that's pretty much all I made my living in, I wrote that story. It was not an easy story. It was not a Tony Robbins, you know, you just believe and you can. There was a lot of misery involved in that. I wrote that story from the beginning with not really knowing what I was doing. Just like people used to go out across the wilderness to get some land and build a cabin. Other entrepreneurs have done the exact same thing. Farmers do it every day. Entrepreneurs do it every day. Tech companies do it every day. But most people are not the story writers. They're just characters in somebody else's story. See, that's not exactly the masculinity that built America. Because if you want to talk about American masculinity of the past, the women of the past were way more masculine than probably I am today. They had to be. The frivolous crap that we all worry about, just the nonsensical worrying about what everybody's saying and what's on the news and who did what and worrying about who said this about who and acting like a bunch of little girls, feminine. Women had to do what most men today do not have the intestinal fortitude nor the physical or spiritual backbone to pull off. And that's a shame. Those people wrote their stories. My question to you, are you writing your story? Are you just in somebody else's story? Do you actually have the original American masculinity where you could go out and figure something out, conquer it, kill it, and bring it back to the cave? See, today, that's not really how that works. Because if the early Americans that understood what it meant to go and actually do something like that, we would have never as a country got off the coast. I'm talking about the East Coast. And I'm talking right against the coast. Because what's today? Men know that they are in a job that's sucking the soul right out of their eyeballs. They know they're in a job, say they have to travel. They never get to see their kids. They never get to see their wife. everything's in chaos when they get back because the family units tore all to pieces. Because you're trying to gather resources in one way, which is one of your jobs, but you have more than that. And you stay in that job because you need guarantees that everything's going to work out fine. You need guarantees of how you're going to pay for health care. You need guarantees of what your income's going to be the day after you quit. You need guarantees of the benefits. You need guarantees of everything. And if modern day, if old time America believed that way, I doubt we'd ever made it 50 miles from the coast. Because there was no guarantees. People used to be willing to take that risk. Very few people take those risks today. Now, a lot of people admire people that take those risks. Like I said, it's an anomaly. People think that those people are lucky. No, they do the work. It's not lucky. They took the risk. Because they could just as easily be a homeless person if it didn't work out. Or trying to get a job doing something that they thought they would never do. Just to make ends meet if it doesn't work out. But when other people that don't take risk see people that do take risk, and it seems successful to them because they decided to write their own story. They decided to fill in the chapters of where they were going and what they were going to be doing. And they filled it up with their own passions and desires and their backbone and their sweat. People look at those and think, must be nice. See, if you're a guy, and you've said it must be nice more than five times your entire life, dude, you need to turn in your man card. That's a woman's reaction to something. That's not a man's reaction. What is wrong with you? See, real men look at stuff like that as a challenge. They're willing to take some risk. And if they're a strong, decent, compassionate man, and they have a track record of character and doing what they say with their own wives and their family, their family's going to support them. Now, you can't have a track record of not being all those things I just said and just all of a sudden one day and they're just going to reach out and go, I'm going to go start a business. Well, you ain't ever finished nothing that you started to begin with. So how in the world do you expect your family to fall in behind you? But it must be nice. Must be nice for what? You know, when I hear that about trapping a lot of times, I wasn't running into too many people running up and down the roads like a truck driver, not getting any sleep and just about tearing my body apart. Oh no, I never heard that. I don't seem to be running into people some mornings when it's 3:30 in the morning and I'm trying to get stuff done online because I've got other things to do in my business. I'm not bumping into people in my living room to do that. It's me. It's lonely. It's my job. So you do it. You don't whine about it. You don't bitch about it. And you don't complain about it. That's your job. But if you know down deep, I'm talking down deep, when you're all alone on a deer stand or on a fishing lake, or when you're laying awake at bed and it's 2 o'clock in the morning and you're thinking about your life, and you know it's not going the way that it's supposed to. Have you ever wondered why that is? There can be a lot of really unusual life circumstances that can get people down. And I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about a spouse coming down with a crazy disease or something like that. I'm not talking about something like that. Or you get hit in a car and, you know, or you come back from Afghanistan and it's going to take several years because you've lost limbs and concussions and stuff. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about majority of people. Not anomalies, but a majority. When you're sitting there staring in the darkness in the middle of the night, and you know you could be doing better, you know you should be doing better as a dad, as a man, what's bouncing around in your head? Is it, it's not fair? Because if that's what's coming to your mind, that's a wussy mentality. That's absolutely what that is. Other people are stopping you. Wussy mentality. People just don't understand me. Wussy feminine mentality. See, a man, a real man. I'm talking a real man. A real man is going to be looking around and going, I need to be trying to have balance between gathering resources and my duties as a dad and a husband. Or gathering resources, because that's pretty much the most important thing there is to getting a wife. Because they know that you're going to be able to take care of them. I never said this was fair. I'm just saying that's the way it is. But what are you thinking? I mean, what's bouncing around? If you're giving yourself excuses, we need to understand the definition of excuse right off the bat as these podcasts go forward. Because I know I'm going to lose some people doing podcasts like this. I truly believe men need to hear stuff like this. And because we turned in such a feminine nature today, with guys, they're not used to hearing stuff like this. They're afraid to even think like this. But what are you really thinking? See, a real man's going to look around and he's going to go, I can do better. And you know what a real man does? He does better. He doesn't try to do better. He doesn't go around and just hope it gets better, because you can hope it gets better all you want to. Until you actually man up, it's never going to change. Never. Whatever it is, it needs to change. Till you man up, it's not going to change. If you lack in character and you won the lottery, you won't have that money in a couple of years anyway. You're going to be right back in the same spot. You have to be able to sit back and truly understand that it's okay as a man to do things that are not comfortable, that are not fair, that is not something that is sexy, to be able to get to where it is that you want to go. I used to listen to Dave Ramsey. All the way back when I was in Fairbanks, Alaska, in the military, 6th Infantry Division. And I used to listen to him. Now, you got to imagine, you know, I'm a combat veteran at this point. I'm jumping out of airplanes, rappelling out of helicopters, carry automatic weapons around with me. I'm a man's man, right? No, I wasn't a man's man at that time. I did a man's job, but I was still a boy. Because we did not manage, and I say we, I mean me, I did not manage the money that I made in the military the way that I should have when we got in debt. And one of the things Dave Ramsey talked about all the time, which to me was almost insulting, because I had the brain of a boy. Not a man, a boy. Is he was like, well, you need to make more money. Well, I've got a full-time job. I mean, what else do you want me to do? You go deliver pizzas. Deliver newspapers. Have a yard sale. Quit going out to eat. You know, he used to go through, he had this whole little pitch. Pizza, delivering pizzas. You think as a combat veteran, airborne infantry, I want to be out there delivering pizzas? No, I found that insulting because I was thinking like a boy. We needed more money. You just don't get to go in and ask for a raise in the military. You get what they give you. If you don't like it, you can just go to Leavenworth and rot in a jail cell. But you're going to do it for the money that they tell you to. See, but I wasn't ready to be a man at that time, even though I had a man's job. Because a real man would have figured out a way to use that money, to save some of that money, to use that money to make more money, than to blow it the way kids do. But the way he used to say that about delivering pizzas, it just was so infuriating to me. Like, it's really that simple. If it is, if you need to get, you save money and you need to make more money, it is. And you always hear guys today, I'd like to start a business, but I don't have time. What time do you get up? 5:30? That's pretty good. Start getting up at 3:30. Well, I don't want to get out of bed. It's going to be too early. I'm not going to suck it up, dude. Eventually, you won't have to get up at 3:30. If you need to start a new business and it's going to take some time, then you're going to have to pull that out of somewhere. Or you don't, when everybody else goes to bed, you go to work. Because that's what a man does, if he needs to. The more entrepreneurs that we have in this country, the more stable our country is going to be. It's going to let capitalism do what it's supposed to do. The less entrepreneurs we have, I believe, weakens the country. And now, everybody wants guarantees. Everybody wants to be able to know exactly what the future holds. They want somebody else to rat the paycheck. They want somebody else to take the risk. They still want all the rewards, but they find out very quickly it does not work that way in the real world, socialist or not. But they're not willing to write their own story. So my question to you is, who is writing your story? Travis Johnson works for me. I've known Travis. He started actually working for me when he was 15. I have nudged, pushed, probably threatened a few times. Anything and everything I could to get Travis to start writing his own story. And he's not even my son. And in a lot of ways, I guess, kind of, maybe he is, sort of. I'm not sure. You know, I think a lot of Travis. Last year, he actually started writing his own story at 20. I think he's 20 at the time, 20 years old. Freaking phenomenal. Now, will it be a home run hit revenue stream? That's to be seen. It's because we got to see if he's going to man up when he needs to build that business or not. But he took the first steps to start writing his own story instead of being a character in my story. Because if it pays off, think of the confidence a 20-year-old is going to have in the world. Because just like George Washington, 20 years old, starting your own business, that's kind of risky and this, that, and the other. And that's what family and friends told him. George Washington was going out and surveying land at 14 years old. 14. If you have a 14-year-old kid today, you're not even going to let him go to a national park and camp by himself for a week. I doubt you would let him camp out in your yard in a neighborhood if you're close to a city overnight without some form of security being there. You, your mom, brother, something. See, because that's not in our DNA anymore. I think it is, kind of, but it's suppressed. All this bull crap about how just womanly men needs to be, I think it's suppressed because men just don't know what to do. It's just a strange world we live in now. Only the strong ones are allowed to be females. If a male is strong today, he needs to be taken care of and destroyed. Because only women are strong. 14 years old, George Washington was surveying into what we would consider great wilderness. Now, I know you're thinking, well, I've got a fort. Times are different now. Really? Really? Times are different now. You've got bad people in the world now, and you've got bad people in the world then. Everything's so bubbleized for children now, how are they even going to know how to be a man? How? When I was a kid and you played army, it was with BB guns. That way, because no one could lie if they got shot or not, because you could see the welt. Now, we wore safety glasses most of the time. We used to play army and cowboys and Indians in beaver swamps in South Alabama with alligators, hornets everywhere, and venomous snakes. And we'd be up to our neck having the time of our life in them nasty swamps. Not today. Oh, no. Everything's got to be regulated. Everything's got to be on a schedule. Everything has to be sanctioned by some freaking expert somewhere where kids never get to learn how to actually grow up. That's why when you see all of this garbage coming out of college, because they're kids. They've never learned because they've never been on their own on a day-to-day basis in the summer and after school, that they had to work out problems with their friends and they had to come up with their own rules and they had to ostracize people that didn't follow those rules. That's what my childhood was like. And if you're my age, 50 years old, I guarantee you that's probably what yours was like. We would leave in the morning. I don't remember ever having a water bottle, not that there was such a thing back then. I don't remember ever eating, coming back for lunch. And we knew we had to be back by the time it was dark, dark. That was everybody that I knew. Everybody. Kids running rampant through the wilderness of South Alabama. Learning how to be adults. Learning how to be men. Learning how to write their own stories on a day-to-day basis. Not today. They're just characters in the school soccer program or lacrosse program or the basketball league. Or they're just a character in somebody's church program or civics program or science program. We went out every day with adventure and we had to figure things out every day on our own. Like I said, apparently we just didn't have to eat as much back then because we never came back for lunch. I barely remember sitting around long enough for eating breakfast. You came in and you ate dinner. I guess that's what it was. But we learned how to do this. We learned how to write our own stories. See, that's not happening anymore. People don't know how to write their own story. It's been written for them ever since they've been in kindergarten. Between that and everybody's looking at the world through the eyes of basically a woman, where you want security, and that's awesome that women think that way. That's their role. They want to understand where the resources are coming from. I totally get that. That's an awesome role for a woman. It causes balance within a family. But a man goes out and builds stuff and he conquers. That's what men are supposed to do. Now, in a civilized world today, we're not going to conquer the neighborhood next to us or the neighbor next to us. It could be something business-wise, sports-wise, hunting-wise, RVing-wise. I don't care what it is, something. But that's not what people do today either. They go to work, they bitch about it, they come home, they watch TV, they go to bed. Eat a bunch of bad food in the middle. They wonder why they look like marshmallows rolling around. They can't really physically do anything, and they don't want to physically do anything because they've been taught that working is actually bad. Although, you know, you always say, you work hard, son, you'll get whatever you want. But whoa. You don't want a job like that. You're going to have to actually work. You want to think your way through life, not actually physically work. Mm-hmm. Look around our landscape today. How'd that work out? My question to you, if you're listening to this and you're still hung in with me this far, are you writing your own story? And if not, why not? And if you don't start today, why not? Are you scared? It's okay to be scared. Men are scared. Real men get scared all the time. But why not? Why aren't you writing your own story? Why do you think if George Washington go through the wilderness with mountain lions and bears and Indians trying to scalp him, with no grocery stores, no roads, no cars, no cell phones, no iPads, no internet, and he'd be out where no one would know where he was at for weeks on end and did just fine? How can you think it's so scary to actually do what you need to be doing in your life, whatever that is? Where has the men gone? Because we need them back. We need them strong. We need to understand, yes, you want to be a compassionate man. You want to have empathy towards others, but you need to be strong and aggressive towards whatever your goals are. That's not a negative, that's a positive. I don't know where that crap ever came from, that if you're aggressive, that somehow that makes you a bad person. Only a wimpy person would even say such a thing. A real man would step up to whatever that challenge was, if it was a challenge against him, and he'd figure out how to beat that other man. That's what men do. They compete. That's, competing is not exactly a feminine trait once you take away sports. That's just not the role. For goodness sake, if you know you're lacking in the man department, and you know it, oh, down deep, if you're that way, you know it. You can lie to yourself. You can give yourself excuses, which are nothing but very coordinated and highly refined lies you tell yourself. If you're giving yourself excuses of why you're not being a man and doing what you need to do, you need to step it up, brother. Now, I'm getting ready to play something that I need to give a warning on. And one of these days, we're actually going to have a show on Man Strong about how men talk to each other and it shouldn't offend others. Because what you're going to hear is a lot of F words, few P words, maybe an S word. I don't know. I don't pay attention to that anymore. I listen to the message of what this is. What this is actually, and you can look this up yourself, it's called Hard Work Never Fails. It's bodybuilding motivation. Even if you don't lift weights, forget the bodybuilding part. Listen to the message. But the people that talk in some of these are hard men. If you think you're going to go into the Navy SEALs and hear it sounds like a bunch of Sunday school teachers talking, you've got a radical slap in the face coming of the reality of that. Real men have a tendency to talk hard because the adjectives make more sense. And it kind of puts an explanation on things when you need it to. But I do know that there are people that get offended by curse words. And I'm not here to offend anybody. And if you're that person, I believe in personal freedom and liberty, this is the time you should check out. I listen to stuff like this. I've got a lot of these downloaded on my phone. They're videos on YouTube. I just do the audio. Because for me personally, as corny as this sounds to some of you, and I really don't care, but as corny as this sounds to some of you, I'm a firm believer in what goes in your head is what's going to be in your soul. And I listen to a lot of things that are not like this. But I do want a steady diet of manliness, I guess you would call it. I want a steady diet of it's okay to be a man. I want a steady diet of you don't want to, be a wuss every day. That you don't quit just because things get a little hard. I want a steady diet that it's okay to be uncomfortable, because that is not the America that we live in today, because people are scared to death of a little bit of being uncomfortable. Real men ain't afraid of that. Real men relish that. But it is an audio of a video that is Hard Work Never Fails, Bodybuilding Motivation. You go look at it. If you're into weightlifting, you can see what the visual is in here. It's guys lifting weights. The story of these is what I like. Because I may be going to the farm, and I may play 3 or 4 of these through my Bluetooth on the way over there. Do you think after you hear what you're getting ready to hear that I'm going to wuss out when I know there's something I need to be doing? Probably not. Do you think I'm going to wuss out just because I get a little tired because I'm trying to do all this stuff online and it's boring and monotonous and seems to last forever? Probably not. Because I'm feeding myself the words of hard men. Hard men to me is what America needs. Hard men may be what your family needs. That's not a mean man, that's a hard man. Two totally separate things. So I'm going to play this, and if you don't like curse words, you need to stop listening. If they don't bother you, listen to the message. I don't even know if weightlifting or bodybuilding is actually mentioned in this or not. But the overall message, oh, it's gold. That is, unless you're offended by manliness.
Stop playing yourself. You're going to have to fucking dig in. You're gonna have to become a wild fucking animal, and you're gonna have to do the work. There is no easy way. Most people are fucking pussies. Most people are pussies. That's the reality, okay? Miserable, excuse-making, underachieving, negative, blood-sucking pussies. They're not willing to do the work. They're not willing to take a step of belief. They're not willing to sack up and say, I'm gonna fucking do this. The minute shit gets hard, the minute things go wrong, they're gonna fucking quit. They are not mentally disciplined enough to execute every single day. The world owes you nothing. What the fuck are you waiting for? Don't be a fucking bitch. You don't have a fucking excuse. You're never gonna be great looking for the easy way. You don't need anyone's fucking permission to be great. The only permission you need is from that motherfucker who stares at you back in the mirror every day and a willingness to do the hard fucking work longer, harder, and better than anyone. You're gonna have people criticize you. Nobody criticizes losers. Nobody gets jealous of losers. Nobody talks shit on losers. But like, people worry so much about what other people think. Some Joe Schmo off the street, if you don't fucking like me, fuck you. There's not these magical people out there that are gonna fucking stop you. It's you stopping. You are gonna have to break out on your own. Nobody's gonna come break you out. That's on you, and nobody can do that for you. at the end of the day, it's going to come down to you. It's going to come down to you fucking doing it. You know, everybody says that, do the fucking work, you know, just do it. But at the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. You have to fucking execute. And so many people, you know, they're looking for that corner to cut or that shortcut or that secret way. And there is no secret. But perfection. You cannot fucking fail. Okay? It's impossible to fucking fail. Impossible. Impossible. You cannot fail. Just don't quit. Don't quit and you cannot fail. Quit believing in fucking magic. It's not magic. It's action and results. Now go be fucking great. We have people all the time who make these fucking excuses. You can make that fucking journey. You're gonna have to have faith, and you're gonna have to do some work, and then when you do some work, you're gonna see some results. And then when you have some results, you're gonna start to believe. Fuck yeah, I kicked ass. Hell yeah, I fucking killed it. You know, it's gonna take fucking effort. It's gonna take you concentrating. It's gonna take fucking focus. It's not something that's gonna be easy. Is to go out and do some fucking shit that you learn, and don't sit there like a bitch and do nothing, be nothing, stand for nothing, accomplish nothing, and then whine and cry like most of society about why the fuck they can't do anything. From one motherfucking person on this earth that makes excuses because they're too pussy to do the fucking work. Now go be fucking great.